Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, Pod Friends. It is Matt Scott, your host of Pod Friends. Happy to be here for yet another episode of Pod Friends. How many times could I say Pod Friends, Pod Friends? Who knows? I am overjoyed and excited for this week's episode, talking with someone who you probably, if you love Survivor, and if you especially love International Survivor, probably know, love to listen to, but do you really know her? As you know from the episode title, this week's episode is with none other than Shannon Gus, or Shannon Gates. Shannon is amazing. She does it all, and she has such a brilliant brain. At one point in this interview conversation, I was talking about how her brain was just such a phenomenal thing for all of us to get to experience and enjoy. And, you know, really what I love about this conversation is just that we had a lot of fun along the way. Spoiler alert, there were a couple of times where Shannon rapped in this conversation, and contrary to what she said, I think she did an amazing job. She did better than I would do, honestly. And we talked a lot about Hamilton. We talked a lot about music and singing. We talked about the role of religion in her life. We really went all over the place with this conversation. I love the vast tonal shifts. That's like my favorite thing on a podcast, whether it's Pod Friends, the wrestling, or Hap Up, whatever it might be. And so we went there. We went everywhere, all over the place. And so one thing I would say is, you know, we do talk about some of the other interviews that Shannon has done about herself and her story being on the Taryn Show 4 years ago at this point. And also being interviewed by Kieran on a podcast about her RHAP journey. But we really dove in. And I think what was cool is that, you know, we talked about some of the things we mentioned. We talked about mental health. We talked about just so much of what makes Shannon Shannon. And this was a lot of fun, as you'll be able to hear along the way. You'll also hear me ask Shannon if she, at this point in her life, would consider playing Survivor, how she would do. I talked with her a little bit about games by Alex Gardner, Alex G, who some of you might know from The Wand Off back in the day, or from Survivor Philadelphia, which, as mentioned a couple weeks ago, I am part of for Survivor Philadelphia 2, as well as Black Widow Brigade. And so we went all over the place, but I, Shannon, if you're listening, I just want to thank you so much for sharing so much of yourself and creating a fun conversation, and maybe selfishly for falling into my trap of singing or rapping on the podcast, because I love music. I'm such a musical person too. And this was a lot of fun. And so check out the conversation. Stay tuned for that. It's going to start in a couple minutes. A couple things I want to mention, though, before diving in. I mentioned Alex G, Survivor Philly. My season of Survivor Philadelphia, Survivor Philadelphia, Head versus Heart, is actually premiering this Tuesday, July 19th, 2022 at 8 p.m. Eastern, and it'll be coming out each and every week on Tuesday. And so I just want you to tune in because it's so well produced. It's so well done. The trailer's already out there. The cast videos of each of us are already out there. And really, if you are a Survivor fan, other than, of course, like listening to the Pride Has Spoken podcast celebrating LGBTQ plus Survivor players, which you can find at robhiswebsite.com/pridefeed, I'd also encourage you to check out Survivor Philadelphia. I am just so glad that I could be part of it. As I said in my video, you know, at the start of the day for Survivor Philadelphia, playing real Survivor, I would most likely die. And so the fact that I had the chance to even be a little part of a Survivor game was really a dream come true. And I'm excited to share that with all of you. And so I will keep plugging it throughout the season just to let people know to check that out, because I admire Alex G and his work and all of it. And so, you know, this conversation with Shannon is incredible. And if you love this conversation, want to tune into other Pod Friends conversation, please, please, please subscribe, leave those 5 stars, leave a review, robhiswebsite.com/podfriendsfeed, or hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And be sure to download the podcast when you tune in. Like, that's how we know that people care. That's how we can ensure that Pod Friends could keep going. Just ensuring that people like you are tuned in and that you love it, because I know these conversations mean so much to you. And speaking of which, if you're loving this conversation and listening to me in audio form, you could also see it at robhiswebsite.com/YouTube and watch me and Shannon being goofy and singing/rapping and doing all sorts of other things. You could also, you know, suggest a guest for Pod Friends at bit.ly/podfriendsnom. That's bit.ly/podfriendsnom. And please check out the description, the details for your episode, the show notes, because there are so many ways to get in touch. You could email me, you could email me at podfriends@robhiswebsite.com. You could follow Pod Friends on social media, stay engaged, tag us, let us know what you're doing at Hey Pod Friends, tag me at Matt Scott GW, follow me at Matt Scott GW. That's easy for me to say. I swear my name isn't Matt Scott. It is Matt Scott GW on the social medias. And you can check out my link in bio for links to Survivor Philadelphia and all of the podcasts and a bunch of other things that I'm up to if you want to get to know me more. And so, without further ado, I don't want to hold things back. I am just thrilled for you to listen to this conversation with Shannon. And so here it is, my conversation with Shannon. making her way to the podcast, hailing from Australia by way of South Africa, she is the host for Survivor Global Coverage here on the Rob Pizza Podcast Network, the Survivor expert from Channel 10's Talking Tribal, a production consultant with Survivor all around the world, a writer, an editor, a singer, a reality TV aficionado, who alongside her husband Peter and Evil Cat Melody is taking over the world, please welcome a favorite in Alex Gardner's Black Widow Brigade game, a Hamilton fan who will sing and wrap her way into your heart. She's not throwing away her shot and will not wait for it. Get those chizzy points ready for Shannon Guss. Oh my gosh, I don't know why I'm so nervous. I'm sweating right now, Shannon. I'm nervous. Wait, I want to ask you though. Okay, so I want to set the scene a little bit because obviously we are connecting virtually. You know, we're not in the same room. I'm here in the U.S. You're in Australia. Where would we be, though, if we were doing this interview in person, like right now, instead of online? Where would we do this if I came to you, if I took the long 18 to 30 hour flight out there, whatever it is?
Right. So like, where do I podcast, or like, where do I spend all my time?
Well, where would you take me to like have this conversation in your city?
Right. I mean, look, the answer is my bedroom. Not to sound weird, but like, Whoa. That's where I spend all my time. Like, I would be in my apartment. I don't like to go outside. So like, where would I take you? Like, where would I be having a conversation? Not to be mean about it, but like, come to my bed.
Oh my gosh.
This is already getting off to a great start. Where would I come? In the city? Like, I don't know. Yeah. My city doesn't match me because my city is all like beautiful beaches and I'm like vitamin D deficient. So. Where would we be doing this? I mean, I love my apartment, my home. Like, that's my safe space. You know, you can come over. We can do it in the study or the living room. You don't have to come into the bedroom. That's where
Oh my gosh. Like, well, I'll ask you, like, continuing on from here, like, what, just like, if you were, so I come to you, like, we're about to get off the plane. You're picking me up. Right,
well, right by the airport. Yeah.
Okay. You pick me up. I'm like in the car.
So nice of me to do that.
I'm like, Shannon, I, no offense, but don't want to go directly to your bedroom to have the conversation. I want to see this city.
Your bedroom. Yeah.
Very official business meeting. But I'm like, wait, take me around. Like, what kinds of things? Like, if you're turning me into a tourist in your city a little bit. You know, we have a couple of hours before we have to podcast. I have my mic in my backpack because I'm in and out. Like, I'm flying in to visit you, record Pod Friends, and then literally leaving 3 hours later. So it's a quick trip. But what, like, where would you take me? What are the sights and scenes and everything? Like, tell us, paint the picture.
Okay. Well, if you don't want to come over, firstly, ouch. Well, I just moved back to Sydney. So I moved to Sydney when I was 8. And then I moved to Melbourne several years ago. And then I just moved back to Sydney. And it's funny you should ask that because we've been very much like tour guides over the last few weeks because a lot of my husband's family and my family have been coming to stay with us and visit. So I actually have been like very much a tour guide. I've like, I've had a lot of pride in Sydney because I like moved and I missed it and I came back and I like want to show how great my city is that I like brought Peter to. So we've been doing everything. I mean, we've had like a range. We had like my little cousins, we had my sister-in-law, my parents-in-law. We did a Lego museum. We went ice skating. We went to the zoo, which is like this amazing iconic zoo, Taronga Zoo, which has a view of like the whole Sydney harbor. We went to Circular Quay where the harbor is, the opera house. We did Oxford Street, which is like the main shopping precinct. So I actually have been going outside quite a lot. It's been I need my bed again.
I was gonna say, yeah, like it's good that you could get outside and do all these things. Also, like, Sydney's really representing on Pod Friends July so far. So that's amazing. Yes. And so we're sitting down, we're having this conversation. It's comfy and cozy. Have you always been like more of a homebody and someone who prefers to be inside rather than in direct sunlight? Or
like, I'm a vampire like that.
When did that start? Like, when did you become, not to be like, when did you become like that? What happened?
When did hermit? When did you retreat?
Yeah. When did you retreat?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's just who I am. Like, a lot of the things I enjoy are indoor activities. I love to podcast indoors. I've been working. When I started working from home when I moved to Melbourne, I was like, I'm never leaving again. I like got in my like blanket, my like hoodie, which is like a jumper blanket. Mm-hmm. And I just like never left the couch. But like even things I like to do with my friends, like you'll find me like having a board game night, not like at a club. I have very pale skin. I burn ridiculously easily, so I'm not gonna like really go to the beach a lot or go out in the sun. I watch a lot of TV. Like, I want to be inside. I'm a cat person. Like, I want to be inside with my cat and not like outside. That's why I couldn't have dogs, because they wouldn't get walked, because I'm not doing that. Like, I'm inside.
Oh my gosh and I'll mention this now on the podcast, like, you were on the Taryn Show back in 2018.
Yes.
You just had that great interview with Kieran about I would say it was kind of mostly about like the last 6 or 7 years and a lot of your RHAP journey and everything. Yeah. But I'm so curious about like even what has changed and evolved in your life since you've started at RHAP, just to like run through those changes and evolutions quickly, because I would absolutely encourage, I don't know if you would, but I would encourage people to check out the Taryn Show interview, just going back, because I think it's a good like grounding in a lot of your background. But like, what has happened? Not to be like, what's happened to you? But
it got so dark. It used to be cool.
Yeah, but what are like some of those evolutions for you? Because you even mentioned like moving, like Sydney, Melbourne, Sydney, and that journey. But like, what have some of those quick stops along the way or shifts along the way been for you in your as you approach your 30s, I'll say. Your glamorous 30s. Sorry for doxing your age.
How dare you? No. Firstly, I love that you listen to like the Kieran podcast and the Taryn Show. You're so prepared, Matt. I love it. And I haven't listened to the Taryn Show since we did it. So I don't even really remember what I said, but I do know. So that was June of 2018, and I started podcasting all the time April 2018. So that was like, I do think it's worth a listen, but it's not indicative of who I am now.
No.
Like, it's very much like a moment in time. It's like me on the precipice of all the things that were going to define me for the next few years, which I think is an interesting snapshot to get of me. Like, that's a really interesting time to find me, but it's so past like where, like, you know, I'm past it now, like where I became. So yeah, June 2018. Different things, you know, the podcasting stuff I did speak about a lot with Kieran, and we can go through from a personal perspective. I moved to Melbourne. I moved out of home. Moved into state. I got engaged. I got married. COVID hit. I got locked out of Sydney a lot because of the borders.
Oh.
Got super homesick because I'm very, very close to my family. And that was like the hardest part of COVID for me, was even with the lockdowns, because we were like a very lockdown city in Melbourne, but I just like miss my family and my cat. My cat got really sick, but she's doing well, but like she's not had the healthiest few years. So I was like really scared I was never going to see her again. Yeah. And then I was like, you know, what can we do to move back? We managed to move back with our jobs. We bought an apartment. We fixed up the apartment. We're living in the apartment. So like personally, it's been a big few years. And then with the podcasting, like at the time I did the Taryn Show, I think I said, oh, I'm covering Survivor New Zealand, and we're going to start Survivor South Africa. Yeah. So like, you know, what a journey with that. Obviously picked up Australian Survivor. Survivor New Zealand got canceled, which was sad, but that's part of that. Picked up US Survivor, did Talking Tribal on Channel 10, doing writing for Channel 10, production consulting for Survivor South Africa. So yeah, definitely one of the biggest parts of the last few years has been, you know, kind of evolving that with podcasting, the content that I've been doing. So I don't know, maybe I will listen to it again and just hear little baby me as she doesn't know what she's about to dive into.
Well, I always think it's interesting. One thing that you sort of sparked for me, one, it is, I admire Taryn. That's why he was like the first guest on Pod Friends. And, you know, I love what he's done, and I'm glad that I could interview people on RHAP in this community. Some who've been on the Taryn Show, most who haven't, but it's interesting because one, it was like, that was 4 years ago. I think that math's right. I'm pretty sure that math's right.
And then, 4 years, yeah.
I'm just making sure. I'm like, making sure I don't get dragged after this. But then also,
you can count to four.
Five. I'm like, wait, no, that doesn't, the math doesn't add up. But yeah, 4 years ago. And you know, the other thing, though, is this pandemic happened, too.
Yeah, so the pandemic. Like, yeah.
Things are so dramatically different for people that the difference is probably even more more extreme. But something that your explanation of how things have evolved really made me think about. So I know you're a big fan of the song My Shot from Hamilton.
Yeah.
So I was like tossing around my head. I was like, do I like play a game with Shen where I'm like, okay, name the lyric. Here's fill in the blank, which you could probably definitely, you could easily do. But do you have like favorite? Well, one, I'm curious about, let's just start there. Like, do you have favorite lyrics from that song or things that, stand out? And then we could talk more about like, how like what role it's played in your journey, but just to start there, like, does anything jump out to you when you think of that song, like, ooh, this is my moment in the song, 3 minutes and 23 seconds in. I don't know, you don't need time codes.
I mean, lyrically for me, like my shot for me, I put that song because that has driven the last few years for many years. I said this on the Kieran podcast, it's what I would listen to in like the Uber on the way to Talking Tribal, pump myself up before podcasts. Although then when I started getting like sadder, like when I, as I spoke about on the Kieran podcast, I like went through some like mental health battles, then I would start listening to Vienna by Billy Joel, which was like my trans, that's what I listen to when I'm really sad. Or like, so like, like the fact that you could tell like my mood based on the Uber, or like where my mental health at was, that was like, very, very clear. So I think for me, that's just more like the vibe of my shot. The lyrics of Wait For It, which is also from Hamilton, like those two songs are very much in opposition for me. They're like two of my favorite songs from Hamilton, my two of my top 30 Hamilton songs that I've had a lot of conflict about in the last few years, and I spoke about it a bit on the Hamilton podcast. But that song for me, like, I'm the one thing in life I can control, that's my like deep breath song. So a lot of the last few years has been between My Shot, I'm pumping myself up, I'm gonna do this thing, I'm like living my dream, versus Wait For It, I'm the one thing in life, you know, I can control. I am inimitable. Wow. I am an original. Like, and that's my, like, even like in the way that the music is, like, it, it's where you breathe. So that's where that's been like the two kind of poles over the last few years that I feel I've been pulled between. And I kind of think the My Shot part of me is some of my worst instincts, because it's the part of me that doesn't put myself first. It's always like, go, go, go.
Yeah.
Sometimes my detriment, but it's also pushed me to do the things that my dream. So, but I still love the song. It's not the song's fault. It's just, you know, it's the Hamilton and Burr in me. It's that duality all the time.
Yeah. You're not upset with Lin-Manuel about his, about making that's Hamilton at all. Good. No. We're not, that's not going to be the headline or soundbite out of this.
It's Lin-Manuel Miranda. You heard it here first. Yes,
yeah. You said it. You just said it.
out of context account. If you dare take that. No, I love Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's my best friend.
That would be a better quote. Please tag him if you do share that. But I think that, you know, one reason I ask about that is because that is, well, more broadly, actually, something I've been thinking about a lot with music is just how much it, for me personally, how much it's like helped motivate me and get me pumped up for different things in my career. And I could think of different songs. I think of My Shot, though, and it's interesting because it's exactly what you were saying, where it's like, it's not the lyrics as much for me. I was listening to it a bunch actually yesterday, because I know that you're a fan of the song. I was like, no, it's not the lyrics that jump out as much. It's like the vibe and the energy and all of that that pushes things forward. But I'm kind of curious about that for like you. Has music, you of course are a prolific singer, established, this has been established in the RHAP community, but like, has music always, I should say it like this, like, have you always connected with music in that way?
I mean like, look, My Shot, that very much is like Hamilton on the precipice. Like, that's like me and my Taran Show interview, like, we're in the same spot in the journey. So I do and I do have a shirt that has like half the lyrics that just says like, I'm past patiently waiting, I'm passionately smashing every expectation, every action's an act of creation. So I still resonate with the lyrics, but it's, yeah, it's more about the song. But for me with music, I mean, music is, it's again, like, it's so foundational to who I am. And part of me is a little sad that, like, naturally that's gone away a little bit, because it's not my identity anymore. And it's not something I can do as much. But, like, my whole life, my whole childhood, my whole adolescence, I was, like, the singer-songwriter. Like, that's what made me, like, quote-unquote special. Like, that's what I lent into as, like, my personality and my identity, kind of like what I do with podcasting now a little bit. But yeah, I was writing songs since I was six. Everyone always told me you sang before you could talk. And even when I went back to South Africa recently, you know, all my, like my old relatives and everything, oh, you remember you singing before you could talk? And like, that was who I was. My Hebrew name is Shir, which means song. Ooh. Like my parents are huge music lovers. My mom's a singer. My dad plays guitar. Like it was always going to happen. Yeah. So I started writing music when I was six and I just wrote and wrote and wrote, and I'd perform at school. I'd perform my own songs. I performed covers. I did all the music festivals. I went to uni and I studied performance. And it was always just what I wanted to be and like who I was. And then I realized that's not really a career path. Like when you're young, you think like, I'll just be a famous singer. Like I'll just be Taylor Swift, who's also my best friend. And it's hard to be Taylor Swift. Not a lot of people get to be Taylor Swift. So I didn't want to do the heartbreak, you know, the gigs and all of that and the hard music industry to try and become Taylor Swift. So I pivoted, but
Oh my gosh. You know, I think I like you better than Taylor Swift, to be honest.
Stop it. I'm leaving. Don't put my Taylor Swift like that. Terrible take.
No.
She's like, a million times better than I am. She's a million times better than I am.
Look, no. She's not a million times better than you are. Is she a Survivor fan? Does she cover Survivor? Is she on the podcast I love? Taylor, where are you when I need you? She's not there when I need her personally. So
if I found out Taylor Swift watched Survivor, a lot of things in my life would start making a lot more sense. Like, everything I feel would be fine. Like we'd solve everything. We'd solve humanity.
Would you podcast with her or would you quit podcasting because she's probably going to take it over and
I'd quit.
Now we know what it's going to take. Don't tell Taylor Swift that she should podcast about Survivor. If she ever hears about RHAP or Talking Tribe, we're done. Sorry.
She can have it. He deserves replaced. It.
Oh, no, I don't love that. Oh, my God. Speaking of music, though, here's my thing, Shannon. I'll be honest. If anyone talks about music, I tried to trick them into singing on the podcast, mostly because I'm such a musical person. But are there when you think about growing up and singing or even just singing, you know, you sing in general. I wonder if there are songs that come to mind for you or that vocally you find solace in. That's such a weird way to say it. But I ask that because for me, I in middle school, I was big on doing our musicals. And I remember growing up, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to just be part of the musicals and sing. And my, on the vaguely religious note, I've talked about this before on Pod Friends, but I went to Catholic school growing up, even though I'm not and have never been Catholic. So that's an experience. I was Jesus in eighth grade in Godspell Junior, singing my little heart out. For all of
you were Jesus? Songs.
I was Jesus. You? Yes. It was a moment. It was really, groundbreaking, I think, that I was Jesus. I don't know if there was a deeper point or if I was there were 14 of us in the class in my eighth grade class too.
Were you all Jesus?
No, I was, but I mean, there were, you know, maybe it's there wasn't competition for the role, but I think I was probably good. But I have to, I think of that when I think of my extensive singing career. I want to ask you though, are there songs that jump out for you that you've just found a comfort zone in?
Well, firstly, I was Simba in Hebrew rendition of The Lion King, which was cool that they went genderless, I think. I can still sing Hakuna Matata in Hebrew. It's Hakuna Matata. It's the same, but the rest of the lyrics are different. So that's the role that I had.
Oh my gosh. What does that sound like? I can't picture what you singing Hakuna Matata would even sound like, Shannon. The people who are listening are probably wondering.
So you say vocal solace. I mean, I love the Disney songs.
Uh-huh.
Still my favorite melodic music. If we're good, I'm trying to think. If you want me to sing, we better get a good song. Taylor Swift. Obviously, I love singing Taylor Swift. And then a little later in life, I found musical theater. I love musicals. Uh-huh. You know, you should ask me to rap. Such a good rapper. You ask what the listeners might not know about me. They know I sing. Do they know that I'm a fantastic rapper?
I did not know this.
I'm an incredible rapper.
I'm not questioning you.
Yeah, it was an Eminem fan when I was young. I love to rap. Legitimately, I know that I'm not laughing at you. I talk so fast. Doesn't it make sense that I could rap really well?
Oh, no, I'm not surprised you could rap really well. I'm just surprised I didn't know that.
You should be surprised.
Oh, my gosh. But look, you're going to find that song. You're going to find the song.
The rap song?
I mean, I don't know. Look, you can't tell us that you're good at rapping and not.
No, rap. I'll rap. I will rap right now.
Do it. Do it.
I'll do Satisfied from Hamilton. And that has singing. And that has rapping. Not all of it. It's a 6-minute song. But I'll do a verse. If I get it wrong, you'll have to cut it out.
I will. Yeah. 1,000%.
This is why I get nervous before. Okay, let's do it. So this is what it feels like to match wits with someone on your level. What the hell is the catch? It's the feeling of freedom of seeing the light. It's Ben Franklin with the key and the kite. You see it, right? The conversation lasts for 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Everything we said in total agreement. It's a dream and it's a bit of a chance. A bit of a posture. It's a bit of a dance. He's a bit of a flirt, but I'm going to give it a chance. I asked about his family. Did you see his answer? His hands started fidgeting. He looked askance. He's penniless. He's flying by the seat of his pants. Handsome boy. Does he know it? Peach fuzz and he can't even grow it. I want to take him far away from this place. Then I turn to see my sister's face and she is helpless. And I know she is helpless and her eyes are just helpless. And I realize 3 fundamental truths at the exact same time. I'm not doing the truth, though.
Oh,
I probably wasn't in time, but I did rap on the podcast. So you got that.
That was beautiful. And also, I don't know, I felt a tears welling up in my eyes. I feel like when this podcast goes up on YouTube, we're going to be immediately copyright stricken. No, it's going to be taken down by Lin-Manuel. One, because you said that you hate him, but also because you said he's your best friend, which he's like, who's Shannon? Which he probably knows who you are. He's a Survivor fan, though, I hear. So
No, because that was humanity.
Maybe I'm making that up, but...
No, he's a Brooklyn Nine-Nine fan. Matthew McConaughey is a Survivor fan. These things are all across purposes.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe... I think T-Bird wants to interview Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah. No, I
know
that.
That's why
that doesn't make him a Survivor fan, I don't think.
He's a Survivor fan in my book. Correct me, if Lin-Manuel, if you're listening.
Listen back to the rap, and if it's terrible, please.
No, it's great. It's great. You're great. And I think that that's the magical thing. Have you ever rapped on a podcast before?
I don't think I have. So that's a first. I mean, I've sung. I sing a lot. I probably have rapped. I don't know. How many, let's do some more raps. I will now perform Hamilton in its entirety.
That's what this podcast is. Yeah. No, that's where I get really worried about the copyright. They're like, Matt, we're shutting down Pod Friends. We're taking
that's
you off the air that's completely. The yes, that's the one reason. And but this, I think it's cool. Like, I always love when people bring their different passions and like who they are to what they're doing. And actually, kind of going back to my shot for a second, one thing I think is so interesting is I understand that that's a song that's been like, okay, I'm gonna do this thing. I'm driven. I almost feel in thinking about the song and talking about this, I feel the adrenaline pumping through me. Yes, and I can imagine that that helps push you forward. But I'm so curious where like that drive, because you are clearly someone who doesn't do anything halfway.
No.
I'm curious, like how
on the podcast.
I know. Which, like, part of it, I'm like, am I just? Is my social game unmatched? You did rap at. It was to me. It was to me. I'm like, was it me or was it you? But I think that speaks to you, like showing up fully, which is awesome. Oh no, this is. I mean, honestly, it's a lot better. It's not that it's. Well, it would probably be like just as amazing in person, but also I'm just imagining like sitting there with you in your room side by side and you're rapping at me and I'm a foot away and I'm like,
can we go to the zoo? Like, why are we in your apartment?
I'm like, am I supposed to join in or something? Is anyone recording this? What's happening?
We can do my shot. You can do the whoa.
Yeah.
I'll say rise up. Whoa. Like, yeah. Okay. At the end of the podcast, we'll rap again. We'll do that. But then I'm rapping at the listeners. Look, I wanted to come in and you kept asking, like, what do the listeners not know about you? And I was like, nothing. Yeah. Because I tell them everything because I'm such an open book. So I wanted to come in and give them something new and different. So I rapped at you. And that's what I did.
And you know what? Your commitment is also unmatched. Thank you. So that's what it's all about. And I think that's the cool thing. Like people, and with you, with a lot of people in RHAP, thankfully, because of Twitch and obviously all of the podcasts, like we know a lot about everyone, but also there's so much more there. And like going way, way back, I know that you like were born, I would say you grew up kind of in South Africa, but could you talk a little bit about like just that, it's weird phrasing, but like that physical or no, that geographic journey to where you are now, because there have definitely been stops along the way growing up. But yeah, like please tell me about how you grew up.
No, I was born in Johannesburg. Yeah. We moved to Cape Town for just under a year. Then we moved to Melbourne for about 7 months. Then we moved to Sydney. I actually think all of that moving around, I've always thought, is one of the reasons I'm like such a homebody. Like I love my space, my home. Like that's like the song that I walked down the aisle to was Feels Like Home to me, because like the fact that Peter is home to me is like the biggest compliment I can give a person. I love my comfort and I hate change. Mm-hmm. So we moved around a lot. And ended up in Sydney. Then I moved, as you know, to Melbourne and then back. So that was my journey.
Wow. And, you know, by the way, you keep referencing Peter. I will acknowledge that that's your husband.
Yeah.
In case the people don't know.
Yeah.
They're like, who's this Peter character who Shannon just dragged me around with her?
Yeah. That's very much it. I drag Peter around. That's such a great explanation of it. Just me doing things. Peter's just like there with me and so helpful. And I'm just like a menace, just dragging him around in my own mind.
So it's like, one thing I'm really fascinated by is like the fact that you met your husband almost more than two decades ago, which is insane.
Stop referencing
like
my age.
How old are you? How old are you? 80? Like what?
Yeah.
No, but like you met but you met him like when you were 8, right? Like what does that even, I'm trying to compute in my head like how you still even know each other.
Yeah. Well, we were in the same class when we were 8 when I lived in Melbourne for those 7 months. I don't really remember him from then, but I do have a letter from him where he said, "Dear Shannon, I will miss you when you move to Sydney forever."
Yeah.
And then I put that up in our apartment. I framed it. So that was how we met, which it sounds cooler than it is. I don't know if I said this on the Taryn show, but like, it sounds cool because we met when we were 8, but also we both went to like Jewish schools and are both part of the Jewish community, which is also how we met again. Like it's all quite insular, but it's still kind of cute that we have the letter and that we know each other since we were 8 and then since we were 16 and then been together since we were 20, coming up on 10 years since we were together.
Oh,
so I'm almost 30.
Congratulations. So, stop referencing your age.
But I am. But like I was thinking about this because you asked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did the listeners not know? They know everything. Such an open book in a concerning way to where I was like, maybe I should start keeping some things a secret because like I mentioned everything on a podcast at a point.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I do think something that doesn't get mentioned enough is just like Peter's role in everything. Because people listen to me, they don't like realize like they listen to like us. Like I kind of feel like we're like one entity, you know, if that makes sense. Like we're such a team. And even though we obviously have our own things, like I do the whole podcasting thing and I have like my job and my friends and my life. And so does he. He podcasts and has his job and friends and life. But like everything's so fused together. Like, I don't think that there's a thought I have that I don't verbalize to Peter. It's exhausting to be him.
That's amazing.
You know, like, so in the podcasting, like, you hear me podcast, but you don't see all before. I talk about it with Peter all the time, especially for Australian Survivor when we're, like, slightly ahead for Talking Tribal. Like, he watches with me. So, like, we're on that journey together. Like, thank God I have him because then I can, like, communicate with him about it. And then, but like every thought I have in podcasting or like any comment or like anything that makes me upset or happy or anxious or scared or all the things, like he diffuses my anxiety, makes me feel better when I'm sad. He like champions me when I'm happy. He like practically like picks up even more of the slack when I'm like super busy. He sets up for me like technically when I'm like rushing because I'm putting on my makeup like I was tonight, which I always am. Wow. Like everything. Like he's just every part of it is like Peter's like the engine that makes it all run. So I feel like that's the thing the listeners don't know, because like yes, at the end of a season I'll be like, thank you to my husband for his support and my family, and like they're so supportive. But like I feel like that's not enough for people to understand. Like I go off and I do like this part of the team like goes off and does this thing, which is podcasting, but like really we're like one single force in my mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's basically in this pod friends conversation with
playing
his role, which oh my gosh. Shout out to Peter. Hey Peter. I want to ask, like, is so, you know, you mentioned Peter in the context of your podcasting and other ways that he, you know, ways that he's supported with that. Yeah. But I just kind of want to give you the opportunity to like brag about other and about him in other ways. I don't know. Is there anything else you can say about why he's amazing in general? Why he's the best person in the world.
The listeners don't know enough about how Peter's the best person in the world because they see me, you know, and like I'm the lucky one. That's what people don't understand. It's like, I mean, they probably do because they realize he has to put up with me. Like, yeah, no, actually they get it because they listen to me all the time. So they know, like how lucky I am to have him. But like, he is okay. From like a personal perspective. Also, this is easy because it was just his birthday. So I wrote a lot of this in the card. Like,
nice.
Well, from like a similar perspective, like he podcasts too. He's like this like super dynamic, like social, great, outgoing person. To the point where, like, we recently got a bed delivered for our apartment and the delivery driver called and he was, like, so mad that there were stairs, even though we said there'd be stairs, and he was mad that the address was wrong. And I was, like, I sent Peter down and I'm, like, good luck with that. Went to my room, my safe place. And then I heard them all come up and the delivery drivers were, like, laughing at his stories. And, like, they said that they told me on the phone they were going to charge us more. They didn't. They, like, wanted his number. Like, that. I'm, like, this is your superpower. Like, he's the most likable person alive.
Yeah.
And... yeah, and on a personal level, like, just the best husband, person, friend, family member, like, yeah, I'm the lucky one. So, yeah, we're very much just, like, this great team, I think. Well, again, like, it's a lot on him, but I think we're, yeah, a pretty exceptional team, and we have, like, so much in common. I don't believe in the concept of soulmates, as we'll talk about it. I don't really believe in anything, but I just think we're like two people who just happen to be like so similar. We think about things in the same way. We approach things the same, like all our values, our beliefs, our religious, political beliefs. Like we didn't even have to talk about it and we just end up on the same page. And I think a lot of that is 10 years of mutual influence and growing together from the age of 20, which is like has been foundational. And like we follow the same path, but like we started in a very similar place. So we're just like always on the same wavelength, I feel. With everything, we always want to do the same like things when we travel. Like we always want to, we have like very similar interests. Like he watches Bachelor in Paradise with me. Like every base is covered, you know, like every base.
It's commitment.
Yeah. He likes it. We sing the theme song. Like, he's going to hate that I said that, but it's true. It's a great show and he watches it with me.
I will not ask you to sing the theme song to Bachelor in Paradise.
No. Copyright is coming for this podcast.
It's like, are you? You really don't want this podcast to be out?
Yes,
there
it like will never see the light of day. We're getting sued. Yeah,
just keep singing. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wow, there's so much here, so much that's there within what you said too, and like something that, well, you just actually touched on this a second ago, but like you're on the same page in terms of so many beliefs, and then you also talked about like growing up and being Jewish, and I love to talk about religion on this podcast because I feel like it is well, actually, I think one of the reasons I probably love to talk about it is like my mom. Growing up, my mom was a college professor, and she just retired before the pandemic. But one of the topics she taught about was world religions. And so it, like, a lot of our dinner table conversations at times would be things that she like taught in her class and just brought in. And then I ended up taking courses on, you know, a number of different religions. I didn't take one on on Judaism, but I remember diving more into Judaism in the context, unfortunately, of like the Holocaust in different courses I took too. But I'm so fascinated by like how it informs and shapes like who we are, like this is probably a long answer, which is great. But like,
it is.
What has the role of religion been like in your journey, or what's your relationship with it been from like growing up and sort of what's been handed to you to like where you are now?
Okay, Jesus. I get why you're asking me this question. I get why I've come onto this podcast.
I know. I'm just trying to secretly convert people to Catholicism, even though I'm not Catholic. That's my way to do it.
Yeah. What is this, like, Jews to Jesus here? That's never. What we're doing.
Yeah, never.
Yeah, because one of the things I said the listeners may not know, because the listeners know I'm Jewish, but I don't think they know, like, how Jewish I am. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't know how Jewish I was. Because I'm an Orthodox Jew, so it's pretty extreme, and it's like so foundational to who I am as well. It's like all these parts of my life where I feel like if you take it away, I would just like cave inwards. Like if I wasn't Jewish, there'd be like, it's hard to even understand what my life would be. Like I was trying to think, like, is Judaism like a daily part of my life? Like, obviously, yes. Like I went to a Jewish school 12 years, I went to many Jewish schools in Joburg and Cape Town and Melbourne and Sydney. You know, my whole community is Jewish. All my friends, like, not all, like, a lot of my friends, all my childhood friends that I'm still really close with, because that's the kind of person I am. I just, like, lock in for life. All Jewish, married Peter. He's Jewish. Met him in a Jewish summer camp. His family is super Jewish. My family is super Jewish. We're all, like, you know, very, very Jewish. And by that, what I mean, like, It's very cultural. So it's like, as an adult, a little bit less connected than obviously when I was going to a Jewish school every day, we have to like pray multiple times a day and stuff. But it's still very foundational to who I am. Like I might like sneak in a Yiddish word, you know, like all my practices, like everything I think about culturally, like super Jewish. And I didn't realize how extreme that was because we're not religious, but it's a big thing, especially in South Africa and Australia, that I don't think exists as much in America, but it's like casual orthodoxy. Which is kind of like a contradiction in terms, because to be Orthodox, like very strict and conservative, but it's casual. Like it's just a part of like our daily life without it being such a huge part of our beliefs. So in saying that, my beliefs and what I realized maybe about like 10-ish years ago was that, I don't believe in anything. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in like anything, to the point where I feel like my skepticism is like a really big part of who I am. Astrology, don't believe in it. Angels, ghosts, God. Nothing like like that's what I don't think people understand is like to be an atheist when you come from an Orthodox Jewish background, like my lack of belief runs really deep. For me to come to that conclusion, like God was fed to me, to the point where I thought I believed in God because I thought that was like the only way, and then at a point I thought it was like at least the conventional way, which maybe it is, for a very long time. So to kind of turn away from that, like that must have meant a lot for me. And when I did realize, like, oh, I know I don't believe in it, doesn't really make sense to me. That felt like so right. Like I just settled into that like so naturally, where I was like, it really like uncovered for me a big part of who I am. So it's this contradiction for me, and it's in like massive conflict, and there's so much cognitive dissonance, and it's definitely going to like reemerge when I have kids, and then I'm like more back in the community through them because I will be.
Yeah.
But there's this like cognitive dissonance where like Judaism is exceptionally important to me. Like, a wedding was kosher, like to have like an Orthodox Jewish wedding was like, it was important to me. And like, I met Peter when I was 20. Like, it wasn't like I was like going out looking for a Jewish husband, but like there's familiarity and comfort in the fact that both our families are Jewish, even though we're immigrants, they're Australian. Like, there's a shorthand that our families know and get along so well. Like, they just know each other. Like, our mothers get along. Like, they're both like very caring, loving Jewish mothers. Like, of course they do. Yeah. So it's really important to me. It actually really is. Like, Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year, is my favorite time of the year. Passover, Pesach is my second favorite time of the year. Like, I love being with my family in this like cultural Jewish setting. But A, I don't believe in God. And also, like, I'm against a lot of religion. Like, I'm really bitter about a lot of Judaism, because it was fed to me, because all the gendered stuff, like, as I was working through it as a teenager, I did not enjoy in an Orthodox religion, which is super conservative and gendered. And politically, there are parts of that that I don't agree with either. So it's like, those beliefs, or lack thereof, are hugely core to who I am as an adult and speak to like 100% of who I am. But then, like, culturally, Judaism is like, again, foundational. If you take it away, fall inwards. So those two things are very much in conflict with each other.
Well, it's interesting, though, because I could relate to a lot of what you mentioned with that, in the sense that, like, growing up, again, not being Catholic, but, you know, I'm sure my parents would have at the time especially identified as Christian. And we would, like, went to this Christian church that I actually stopped going to when I was like in the third grade, because I was like,
you with Jesus?
Well, that's a whole other story. I was still in Catholic school, though, from kindergarten to like basically before I went to college. And so I was like, It's very interesting too, like, the levels of Catholicism that I experienced or was exposed to. And in a lot of ways, I'm really thankful that it wasn't more like strict or aggressive in terms of like a lot of societal things. But I will mention, and this is something that, like, it's like a weird thing that I think about, is that, like, in the third or fourth grade, like, they used to, the Pope used to have me write essays. But in the third or fourth grade, we had someone come in, and like, we were writing these essays for this essay contest. It was called Respect Life Contest, but it was like all about, it was basically like, it was so weird because I was so good at this contest that was like, let me tell you about why, like, it was always like life beginning at conception and like all of these things that are obviously in conflict with a lot of like of pro-choice things that I definitely believe now. But it's that was like the level of I don't want to use the word indoctrination because it's a strong word, but there was that's what it was. So the level of that, but then also like the town I grew up in was really diverse, especially in terms of religion. And like I went to like Seder's and Passover and like all this different exposure to like different ways of thinking that I don't think it's that surprising that I am like, I guess I'm probably atheist, but I'm also just like, I could curse on my podcast. Let me just do my shit. Like, let me live my life and figure it out. And like, you could believe what you want as long as it's not encroaching on anybody. But I think it's like something I want to ask you based on what you said in terms of those contradictions, in terms of like your Jewishness, really, is like, how did you get to that point where you were able to make that shift? Because a lot of people, this has actually been something that's been on my mind a lot recently, but like a lot of people aren't able to shift from what they grew up with, or like are so firmly rooted in that they're like, no, this is exactly how I once lived. And there are elements that you keep, but there are also elements where you're like, no, not for me. I don't like this. I'm doing things differently. Like, what is it about you that allows you to do that? Because I wish it's a skill that more people had, to like think critically and shift. But
I mean, I think with everything with me, I think it was emotional first. Like, I don't think it was, I think the main thing that sticks out in my mind was like when my grandma got Alzheimer's, I was like, I don't understand why God would make this happen. And that was when I first like started doubting things. Cause before that I was just like, I was very much like, God looks out for me personally. Like, I have my relationship with God. I was never religious ever, but I was like spiritual, and that was like the only way. Like, we were very much like in this like very Jewish school. Yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to explain, like, really, you know, it also took me like a little bit of time just being out of the school. Like when you're not just doing that daily, like you just have time to think. But I think, yeah, when my grandma got Alzheimer's, that hit me. And then it started becoming kind of everything, because I was like, why would any of these bad things happen? And it was on that emotional level. And then for me, I so fundamentally don't believe, if that makes sense, that like, it's just very much who I am. Like, I think that any belief I ever had just speaks to like the level of intensity of like, again, the like indoctrination or like how far in it I was, because it's just not something that I even remotely begin to believe in now. Like, it's just so much who I am to not. And I'm very comfortable with it. Like, I said to Sarah, and I said, I was listening to your podcast with Sarah and I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I see the world in a very similar way, where like, I don't believe there's anything outside of like the here and now, but that to me gives meaning to the here and now. Like it's exactly how she said it. Like, don't give charity because it might give you into heaven. Like, then you've given charity. Like, that's such a great thing. Makes you happy, makes them happy. You know, like the power of just like, if we have this conversation and you enjoy it and I enjoy it, or a listener gets something from it, like meaning, like, and that's all I need from things. If anything, it gives more meaning, because I'm not trying to get anywhere else or like get anything out of it. Like, I'm just trying to like find meaning in my day to day, which is very much what I do. I'll often think about like what I'm investing in. And if that was like positive. So like today I did a couple of podcasts, like invested in that part of myself. Like we're having a good conversation, like invest in that as like a social interaction, got some work done, invest in that. If I spend good time with my family, even if I like take a nap, I've invested in self-care. Or if I go on, like I'll exercise bike, because the only way I exercise is indoor in my apartment. Invested in exercise, you know, like that's why I see it as like, I don't want to waste, like I do waste so much time on Twitter, but like, that's why I see it as like invest in meaning. And I like, I'm not uncomfortable with that even at all. So like the fact that I ever believed, I think just speaks to like the environment I was in. My beliefs now are very much who I am. Like that was a big part of like going through my 20s and realizing that. Mm-hmm. But also it was like a weird thing to realize, I think, because, well, even like through all of it, like even like recently, because I think when you're like growing up, like you see yourself as like the norm and the rest of the world is like reacting to you. Mm-hmm. But then like you realize where you sit in society, like as you get older, and you're like, it's kind of fringe to be like an Orthodox Jew. I was like, and then like an Orthodox Jewish atheist, like it's a lot. Exactly. But then the thing that like calms the cognitive dissonance most, even though I am like still a little worried about it for when I have kids, is that like Peter's exactly on my wavelength. Like I was joking with him before, it's like I kind of like I do like that like married in the community and that we have that connection, but I also would have just been like pretty upset if he like did believe, because I wouldn't have understood it. So like if he wasn't Jewish, there would have been some disconnect there, but also if he believed in God, there would have been disconnect. So like to find another Orthodox Jewish atheist, like how lucky is that? And we're like on the same page with it. So that's like to me like the best, like the thing that calms me most in all of the conflict, internal conflict I have about it all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting though, because you like you like in a prolific sense, like are, I don't know, I would imagine as someone who's not you, Shannon, like people, your brain, I'm trying to like say this in a way that's not like,
I'm so excited to hear what it is,
but your brain is like is so unique and powerful in a lot of ways. I was gonna say your brain is unmatched, Shannon. I don't know, I have a line from like Survivor 42 from Chanel, like my social game is unmatched or something to that effect. That's like ringing in my head for some reason. But yeah, like you are known for like the ways that you think, and I think that people hearing and understanding just how that goes beyond Survivor is really interesting and powerful. But you talked about making meaning, and beyond the podcasting, because I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about podcasting too. That's just a thing you do, you know, sometimes like all the time.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like you've probably spent how much of today, by the end of the day, will you have spent podcasting in terms of like hours of the day?
Probably just like 4 hours. It's not that much, but I did like, before and after work pretty much. But
I mean, I was going to get to that too. Like, what is it that you do for work? And could you talk about that side of things, of like what you do and why. I'm always interested to see if the dots connect of how people end up doing what they're doing and like why they choose to do the things that they do.
Yeah. Why did I choose to be a writer? I mean, I've always really liked writing. I wrote in high school as well, and I was a songwriter. So I liked writing, and I always thought I communicated badly verbally. That was just an insecurity that I had. So I was like, that's how I communicate, by writing. And especially as a control freak, then I could edit it. And like, then I have control more over how I'm communicating. So I liked the idea of writing. When I went to do my undergrad and I did music. I was going to graduate from music, and I'm like, well, I don't really want to teach music and I don't really want to go into music. What am I going to do? And then I remember I went to the guidance counselor and she was like, what are you interested in? And I was like, maybe media. Like I kind of always thought I could maybe work like in magazines, you know, like every lead of every rom-com. That looked pretty glamorous to me. So literally every single one, and a lot of them are like not getting paid enough, I would think, to live those lifestyles. But that's not what they tell you. They don't tell you that Carrie Bradshaw would never just write one column. It makes no sense.
And their apartments are huge. Like, what? Yeah. Where do you live? This is New York City. You have a 100 by 100 square foot box at most. Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, they do go through Carrie's. Yeah. Like, they talk about the financial stuff, I do want to say. But, like, even then, it's ridiculous. She's like, I'm just doing research for my column. I'm like, you have 500 words a week, Carrie. Get a real job. Anyway, point is, because of pop culture, I thought maybe I'll be in journalism. I'll go from, like, the instability of music to the stability of journalism. And I was just looking at a couple of courses. I remember like the guidance counselor, she showed me one course. I was like, this looks kind of cool. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll just do that. That looks great. Like, I was like all in. And I loved my master's degree in media. It was super fun. It wasn't just writing, but I loved, and like, that's the most fun writing you get to do, is if your whole life's going to be just like writing whatever you want. That is what I did for my master's degree. So I really enjoyed it. And I interned at like Marie Claire, which was like very much my like Devil Wears Prada days, where I like mostly did get the mail for them, but like I felt fancy doing it. And then I interned at InStyle, which is a hair magazine. And then they offered me a job when I finished uni, and I thought, a job in journalism, which multiple lecturers had told us we would never get, which is very fair because journalism is tough. And I started there. I'm the kind of person where if you start me as an intern, I will get my hooks in and I'll be there forever. Same with my friendships. Same with Peter. Met him at 8, married him. RHAP started as like background intern. Here I am. My job started as an intern, moved up. Online editor, deputy editor, editor. I don't leave. Like, I will be here forever. Like, that's what I do. And so my job, like, to have a full-time job in journalism is something I've never taken for granted.
Yeah.
Even as I learned that I can communicate in other ways and found like other passions, I've always appreciated doing that. It's something that I feel I can do pretty well. Like, it's a lot of my skills. Like, I am a writer. Like, that's what I studied. Like, the grammar thing, very much like a stickler for grammar, for spelling. Like, I'm an editor. Like, that's what my job is.
It's so interesting and awesome. And I do relate to that in the sense that I actually, when I was signing up for, when I was applying to college, and at one point I needed to say, like, are you applying to, like, what school in the universe? I went to George Washington University, excuse me, here in Washington, D.C. And you had to apply to, like, a specific school within that. And I ended up going to the business school and studying business administration and marketing, and then, like, kind of figuring out how to make journalism part of my, not journalism, but like, I put that in air quotes because I don't think of myself as a journalist. I am someone who's able to interview a lot of people and ask a lot of questions and like storytell. But I relate to that because I remember thinking like, should I apply to this journalism school? And it's cool to think that like, even though I'm not a journalist and trained in journalism and doing the journalism's things is whatever you people do as journalists. it's cool to still have some of that. So I think that's awesome. Are there like, where this next question started, you were talking about your degree and being able to like, just do projects about whatever you wanted. Were there like, did you do anything about Survivor when you were in like doing your degree in mass media, your master's?
I actually didn't, but I do think that I always wanted to write about Survivor. Like, that was even how I got involved in RHAP, was like, I wanted to write about it. And Rob was like, well, we're not really doing that. Do you want a podcast? And I was like, no. But like, yeah, if that's the only media I can put out about Survivor, right. I did always want to, but it was like kind of different things. I did more like personal essays and more like broader things that I wouldn't get marked like an F, because they were like, what is Survivor? What are you writing about? So I didn't, but that was always like the dream, I think, like entertainment and pop culture, media writing. That was always like what I, and also at a point, like football writing was something I was really interested in. Like, yeah. I'm obviously a passionate person that has a lot of interest. Like, I wanted to be able to create content around things I was passionate about, whatever those things would be. And then it ended up being Survivor. Yeah.
That's so, it's fascinating though, to even, one, hear that you weren't writing about Survivor, first of all, but also just to like, think about your relationship with mass media. Because one random fact that kind of sent me down a rabbit hole with you is that you mentioned that you walk on your toes, which I was like, wait, is this related to America's Next Top Model? Which I shouldn't
stop
mention.
Revealing my secrets.
But I'm like, first of all, why is it notable that you walk on your toes? And the series of thoughts in my head right there was like, you have been exposed to media in a lot of ways. And that is definitely one of them that we don't have to dive into that. First of all, why is it notable that you walk on your toes? Let's start.
Because I feel like that's so weird. Like, I did mention it on a podcast once that everyone was like, yeah. Everyone who listened to that podcast was like, that's really strange. And I wouldn't know it because I always see you sitting down, or I only listen to you.
That's true.
So I just thought, when you asked, what do the listeners not know? I was like, they know everything. Some might not know that I walk on my toes. This was the way that I was thinking. It wasn't connected to Top Model because, I wasn't a model, and I am just very like awkward and uncoordinated. So that's why I did that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, it's, I think it's funny though. And that stands out. That fact about you stands out to me because I don't walk on my toes, but I do walk on my toes upstairs constantly. Like, I'm like, that's been a thing my whole life. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that's weird or not, but
I'm just upstairs.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why I'm like on my toes.
It's weird it all the time. It's much more comfortable to be on your toes. I've always said the one Survivor challenge I would always win is the one where they stand on their toes. Like, I would dominate. I could be there for days. Like,
but,
yeah.
Well, like, okay. This is like little 2 to 3 minute section of this interview is so random, from like talking about your media degree to talking about you walking on your toes to then mentioning Survivor. But I'm going to take that as an opportunity to ask you something, because I'm sure you've been asked this, but I wonder if the answer has evolved. Would you go on Survivor as a player, as a contestant, not as the host?
No. I just said that I would only take you to my room and I can't go to the beach. Do you know how sunburned I would be on Survivor? It's not just sunburn. I'm like really, really not fit. Like, people don't understand the level. They don't understand, like, when they're like, oh, it's okay, like, you'll go to the gym. Like, no, I won't. I'll never get fit for that show. I would be eliminated first. But like, and also, it's just something I've never really wanted to do. There's only one reason I've ever wanted to go on Survivor, which is to be in the theme music. That's the only reason.
Like, with your clips of you like jumping off of things in slow, I don't know how they do.
No, not jumping. Oh my god. No, I'd like to be like, if I could choose my two clips, I'd like to be kind of laughing, like, and then I'd like to be like seriously strategizing, like,
that's your legacy.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be jumping. Or maybe like celebrating a puzzle win. Clearly I've thought about this.
Oh, so you really want to be out there but you would be there to win, I'm assuming, you know.
Like, no, because I would lose like that. Well, here's the thing, is like, I think I'm a pretty self-aware person. Like, I try to do things that I think I'm good at. Like, there's a reason that I'm not out there running marathons. I'm bad at it. And I don't want to invest time in things that I'm like just not good at. In fact, one time I had to accidentally run like a rape at school because they mixed it up. It was a clerical error. And yeah, I had to run the 800 meters for like, to get into like state finals. And I was, they like what? Took me away on the bus. And I was like, I'm telling you, this was wrong. And like people lapped me. And then when I ran in, people like gave me a standing ovation, which was so humiliating. Like,
yeah,
I was just that like running badly. And people were just like clapping for me, like as if like, well done, you made it. And I'm like, this is embarrassing. I'm not meant to be here. It was a clerical error.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's really traumatic. I'm sorry that I just brought that up. Like, I didn't realize that you running was going to be the track. And it makes me think about my traumatic running stories too. Yeah. And you know what? I appreciate this because everyone, people talk about marathons and how they love to do them and how great they are and how great running is. Representation for the people who don't want to run is what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was a horrible day. Yeah.
That I'm not, I want to get away from that because I feel so bad that I brought it up and now you're like really going into like your time.
But I feel like I had a point though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I invest in things I'm good at. That's the thing. Yes. Like I'm aware, like I don't need to be good at everything. Like I know what I'm bad at and I just don't do those things. Like I wouldn't be good at Survivor because, and like I've always thought like, oh, because I'm just like really unfit. But then I'm like, I also don't think I'd be great socially at Survivor. Like if you think about it, like if you think about it, because I'm an introvert. I'm an extroverted introvert. I need my time in my room or with Peter or my mom or like with my people that I see as like part of me. So it's not like being with people or even my friends. Like that's fine. But like socializing so much outside of myself, like I'd be so tired. And
yeah.
And I love sleep. I've gotten messages before like, hey, Shannon, I know you said you'd never do Survivor because you love sleep too much. I'm like, I'm glad I'm putting that energy out on the podcast. And that's the reason. But it's true. I love sleep. I even said to Marianne, she said on her deep dive that like Taku would take group naps. I texted her. I was like, that's the first time I ever thought I could do Survivor. Like if we're group napping, I'm actually good to go if that's what we're going to do. But
you just said the coolest sentence ever, by the way, that you texted Marianne and I am in. I'm just like, ooh.
Oh, it is the best.
Wow.
It is the best.
Has anyone really like, okay, there are like two questions in this, but one, has anyone like really pushed you to like actually apply and be out there and do it? Because there's this weird thing. Well, maybe it's not that strange, but it's always like the, oh, you're talking about this thing, but now you actually doing it is the thing. Like, you know, obviously we've seen for Big Brother, Taryn and Iman have been rumored at different points. I'm sure half of RHAP has been rumored at different points to play Big Brother, but has that ever come up in a more serious way where people have been like, Shannon, you need to be on this show. You need to apply. Have you ever thought about, like, how close have you gotten to actually doing that?
Like, not even, like, that's the thing is, like, yes, like, some people, like, some of the players and the listeners, like, definitely want to ask me, but, like, no one in my, like, close life would ever even remotely consider, because they know, like I know myself, and it's
that's not awesome.
it's so many other things is like, so the physical part, it's done. The survival aspect, I've died. The social aspect, I don't think would be that good. Strategy, I think I got it okay, but like without any social capital would not be great. Like I know enough about Survivor to know I'd be bad, but then also mental health, I couldn't handle the mental health of Top Model. Mm-hmm. So like how am I gonna handle Survivor? And like, I would even say like when we were watching last year Australian Survivor, like Hayley was on the show and we would talk and sometimes we'd like, you know, do FaceTime and stuff after the episodes and she'd be so chill, like she'd be going to bed and I'm like, no, I'm wired from your season. So I'm not going to sleep for hours. And she would be like, she's a very like cool, calm and collected person. Mm-hmm. But even so, I'm like, why am I more anxious about this than you? Like you were on the show. But like my level of just like anxiety at like any time is not great. Like even podcasting, like we talked about it with Kieran, like has triggered that in like a bad way. I feel like being on the show and especially doing badly on it would just be terrible. Like it would just take away this love for the thing that I have. So
yeah,
it's not even like a remote consideration.
Gosh, on this game related note, it's making me think. So I was part of Survivor Philadelphia 2 with Alex Gardner's.
Amazing.
It comes out this July and everything like that. And it's going to be interesting to like watch it and just see how everything unfolds and all of that. But it's interesting because even for me doing that, like we filmed that in September last year, September 2021. And then now it's finally coming out. And there are so many ways where I'm like, oh my gosh, I could relate to Survivor players and what they're probably thinking, like thinking over different things in what, you know, whatever I played in the game or however things unfolded. It's like, oh my gosh, this is like giving a taste of what that feels like. Have you, well, so of course, and I podcasted about this, but I know that you did Black Widow Brigade.
Yes, I love that. Which was in my room.
In your room.
Strategy like, in my room. That's what I want. Yeah.
Yes. So you did that. Have you ever I was going to ask generally, have you done like any online or live reality game stuff at all?
Yeah, well, I did that. And I loved that. That was such a fun day. And then I did Sequestor, which I did that a couple of times, which I also thought was really fun. And and you know, that did give me a lot of insight into I feel Survivor, because it really showed me, like, when I got voted out and something had been different to what I thought.
Yeah.
It really, when the players say, like, the audience sees everything, but you only see it through your lens, like, that was really clear to me. I was like, oh, I wasn't seeing things, like, outside of my own view. Then I had my Bachelorette Survivor night that I won. It was a very fun Survivor experience. But otherwise, like, for me, it's all about, like, we've been playing, like, Werewolf since I was really young. So it's all about the board games when we play, like, Coup. And that's when I have my, like, 10 minutes of lying, like, it's the board game life that I really love, and like those strategy games, and that feeds into like the Survivor love as well. So like that's been my biggest experience with that kind of game type.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. I thought the Black Widow Brigade game was interesting. One, it sticks in my head because literally me and Grace Leader and LaTanya Starks just like covered it, and it was such an interesting it was such an interesting experience to be like, ooh, here are all these people that we know and love, like some more than others, to, you know, of course, but well, not in love, we love everyone on there, but no, some more than others. And it was interesting because you were such a main character on it in a lot of ways, as this like good, like this lovable character, even though it's like literally you playing this game. So I hate to call you a character in that way, but a lovable character as one of the brochachos with Josh Wigler. And you had like this little brochacho thing. I think this was it, like the X crossed up and all of that.
Yeah.
But you are so, the thing that sticks with me, and I feel like at some point I have to go back and watch that and like even maybe listen to the podcast back. But
so
you know,
you were so
like invested in that, like emotionally you were very invested, which I think in turn brings other people along the way. I don't know if you were just tearing up at like the Black Widow Brigade game or how to
pull it. I did play that game really badly, but I had a lot of fun with it.
But yeah, is that just part of how you're like how you are, where you're are you always invested when you get looped into something?
Firstly, I am the most competitive person alive. I say in my competitive way, like, don't try me on the, don't say you're more competitive. No. Like, I'm like cliche competitive about everything that I do. And I definitely, like, my mom's super competitive. We text each other every day about the Wordle. And if she's done worse than me, I'm like, you should be embarrassed. And if I've done worse, she's like, you suck. Like, that's basically what we do every day. So the competitiveness was there. But also, yes, like, I throw myself into everything. Like, it's interesting what you said about, like, what did you say about my brain? Not about it being unmatched. The way that I think. No, not about it being unmatched, but, like,
it's prolific. I mean, just the ways that you think What did I say about your brain?
Well, I don't know, but, like, no, that's what I'm about. What did you say about my brain? And you're like, it's incredible. Like, that's not what I mean. Yeah. Like, I do. It's all part of the same thing. Like, I think I do think critically about everything. I overthink everything. Like, it's hard to be in my head. I have no chill on, again, like things I care about. Like, if I'm not good at it or I don't care about it, I'll probably just steer pretty clear. Whereas like anything, even if I'm watching it casually, like I've been watching like all the Marvel shows. I like love Marvel and like, but like even like things we watch on a casual basis or like sitcoms or anything, like I will give Peter a verbal essay after about my thoughts about it, or I'll like dive deep online researching stuff. Like that's how I got into loving like pop culture media. I was like reading the AV Club, TV Without Pity, what became Dalton's recaps about Survivor, and then eventually found RHAP. Like I love diving deep onto anything I'm interested in. And if I'm not interested, I probably just leave it alone. So I like throw myself into everything. So like, yeah, it is, it's like kind of hard being in my brain because it's like that level of care and investment in everything and everything that has ever happened that I care about, everything that I've ever done, feeds into probably definitely the overthinking, feeds into the anxiety, right? Because that's what happens is like when you're thinking so much about things, feeds into like, I've mentioned this briefly with Kieran, but like clinical like OCD that I have, like a lot of that I think is like it all harps on the same things of me caring so much that I like can't like go. I'm not like someone who just chills. Like I remember once my mom was like, I think we're talking about my wedding. She was like, it will be fine. Like, que sera, sera. And my mom's not like this either. She's like, whatever will be. I'm like, have you met me? She's like, I know. I'm sorry. I'm just like trying to get you to chill out. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's not what I do. I don't like leave things a chance. I'm not like just chilling out with stuff. Like I am too all in all the time. And that's just like very much who I am in everything, including Black Widow, apparently.
Yeah. And I think that it's, I appreciate that you kind of made that connection and kind of led us back to like, it was something you mentioned, mental health as part of all this, because the, well, there's a lot there. One thing I would say, and I don't know if this is something that's just in my mind from your conversation with Kieran or from any of a million other podcasts and things that that even didn't involve you, but someone, I was listening to someone recently who made a point that like oftentimes the things that are our biggest strengths also have a flip side. You said that.
Kieran, yes.
You said that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was me. Our biggest strengths are our biggest weaknesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I think that's very, don't take that it's from very, me. I was like, you know, belief. Let me. Yeah. At least I didn't claim, I was like, you know, I've had this deep thought that's mine exclusively.
But no, yeah, it's like, so interesting that you say that, because when my mom listened to the Kieran podcast, she was like, I say that. I'm like, no, you say that because I say that. Like, I will credit you on all your amazing advice, but yeah. I'm the one who came up with that concept. Everyone's trying to steal it. It is mine and I love it. And don't take that one. Yeah, everyone's best and worst qualities are the same. And I know I came up with it because it's mostly true about Survivor, but then it's also true about life. Yeah.
It's true. And you also have to figure out how to navigate it. Like I just did an Enneagram test a few weeks ago. And it was interesting because I've done like different tests like that. And I'm someone who spends a lot of time, like also definitely an overthinker, but I spend a lot of time like obviously interviewing people and then processing it and like getting the data and prepping for interviews and diving deep and listening to interviews from 4 years ago just to be ready for one today.
I love that. The man after my own heart. Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's what it's all about. You have to be ready. I will also say I'm so proud of the 200 pages of notes that Mari and I have had for our wrestling wrap up since starting. So
I love that. That's what I loved about the wrestling wrap up. I was like, I vibe with this because even though I don't understand like this passion, I get that they're passionate about it and they're like that invested. Like I can understand that on a passion level, which is like very important to me because I love like being passionate about things and then making other people passionate. That's like one of my favorite qualities about myself. Like that, like I feel like I'm so passionate about things that I've made people watch Survivor. They love Survivor, Hamilton, like other things that they then get into. And I could sense that with the wrestling stuff. So I feel like we were on the same wavelength, but just with different mediums.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I could go on and on about wrestling. So one day someone will have to interview me to talk about wrestling, but
you have a wrestling podcast.
I do.
That's called your weekly wrestling podcast.
Wow. I never really thought about it.
Someday I'm going to have to be able to talk about wrestling on the mic. Like you have a wrestling podcast.
Someone's going to have to talk
to me about Survivor one day.
It's like, okay, well, I'll talk about it on the wrestling podcast then again about like why I'm so fascinated by it. Even though I realize I haven't really talked about that a lot. But speaking of wrestling, it's even when you were on, like last year was a really interesting time for me and Mari with the wrestling wrap up, just because we were trying to cover everything and talk about everything. And I don't want to speak for Mari, but I think that it just seems like we have a lot more fun doing it now. One, because Well, actually, we talk about a lot of serious issues in it, which like that is important to us in different ways. And so that's great that we could do that. But also, we just talk about the things that we want to talk about and we don't get as stressed about it. And then we talk about it for a little bit less each week. And like we, it's awesome. So, but I wanted to tie it to what, kind of where I was going is the wrestling world is also very exhausting at times. I know on our mental health and we talk about that. And it's, we have boundaries, which is helpful, but, I mean, rather than like, well, I guess this is in part asking you about like what some of the like things that you faced as a podcaster are in like as it relates to mental health, which I don't think a lot of listeners, which I will say a lot of listeners think about, but probably most don't think about when it comes to us. How do you like navigate or manage or try to manage your mental health in relation to like these shows and the coverage and the feedback and the communities and the all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, badly for so long, and I spoke about this a lot on the Kieran podcast, yeah. Which, you know, I would encourage people to check out because we really went through it chronologically, and I think we put out like a really good showcase of how everything got so bad, which I didn't realize at the time because I was like so invested in the podcasting and just like threw everything of myself into it to a point where then if it was bad or if I was unhappy with it or I got a negative comment about it, it was like it all blew up. And yeah, I spoke about it with Kieran, but I had like a really bad mental health few months, the first half of 2020, where my anxiety was at peak and like I'm still a pretty anxious person, but like I was quite depressed. My OCD got really, really bad during lockdowns, especially because it was that lack of control. So I would like feed into like little compulsions and like ways to control, which is something I'm still not amazing at, but like that tends to just ebb and flow naturally for me.
Yeah.
And then mentally now, I mean, I think honestly doing the Kieran podcast was like really cathartic for me to just talk through the journey. And it kind of made me realize like looking at it, I was like, I see it in like three parts. It was like the vast ascent. Then there was like the big crash. And then like I've been building myself back and like, in realizing that I was in that third phase, I realized how far I'd come. So I feel really good about it now. And I played a lot of The Climb by Miley Cyrus and then like felt good about like where I'm at because like that's been the climb for me, has been like building back my mental health more than anything. But the way that I deal with it now, yeah, I mean, I've blocked off a lot of ways to see people talk about me. I pretty much don't see people talk about me unless they actively want to, and they're mostly nice if they do that, not 100% of the time, but like most of the time. Yeah. And then, you know, I went to therapy. I wrote amazing therapy notes. Like after every session, I would write down a couple of things that resonated for me, and those things are like that like list of notes. Like last year my phone died, like the battery died and the charging capacity died. So I was like charging it and it wasn't working and I just watched it die in my arms. And like my first thought was like my therapy notes that I like had an email to myself. And then I like had to rush it into like a phone repair place and be like, save it. And they did. And then I emailed my therapy notes to myself. But those notes, like that's how I get through it. It's like 50% cut down on what people see about you. And then like 30-40% hopefully building up a lot of now what I understand about myself, like becoming more self-actualized to know you're not all podcasting, like don't feed the like bad impulses, like don't respond to trolls, know that like what people say about you isn't everything, it isn't the be all and end all, like think about the avatar behind the words, remember that not everyone has universal approval. Like every time I look at the therapy notes, I end up getting something from it that helps me in that moment. And then like 10% of the time, like yeah, it's still hard and hurts. And like my mental health around podcasting, even away from the comments, is never going to be perfect because my mental health isn't perfect anyway. I'm always going to be an anxious person. I like care so much about the content. Think about it. Like when I'm thinking about going into Survivor South Africa next week, a lot of my, not concern, but like a little bit of my like pre-exhaustion isn't around even the content or watching it or the time I give, but it's just knowing that like there's no real off switch for me. Like I tweeted out a couple of months ago in like a funny way, and it is funny, but like it was me texting myself in the middle of the night thoughts about Survivor so I could put it in my notes. And I do that, you know, like if I'm watching Survivor and so much Survivor, then like I'm thinking about it in some capacity, like at all times. And I'm just like, a little pre-tired about going into that because it's just a lot, even though I love it and enjoy it. I just know that there's like no way for me to turn my brain off. So yeah.
That's, I was like, damn, it ended right there, which is like the, I mean, that's so real, which is that, you know, and I relate to that in a lot of ways. I feel like in general, and there's not like one thing that I relate to that with work, I've had different moments where it's like, normally I'm able to detach and I find myself to be someone who increasingly is good at like setting boundaries and finding those. But if something is bothering me, like it could mess up my sleep. And so I'm like, I need to do something about that and like work on that. Or like even the stress of, I used to have these, I probably still will have them from time to time, but like maybe like once a year, thankfully, like if I have something big coming up for work or life, even the night before, I might have a dream about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was late, or like I got on the train and forgot to wear pants, and then I had to go home, and then I missed the thing I was supposed to do, and then I wake up, I'm like, oh right, that's never happened. It always works out well. But I mean, yeah, I guess there's podcaster to podcaster, like, is there, I don't know, is there anything you're like looking for to figure out? Because in terms of how to navigate that, just your brain not shutting off and all that, because I mean, there are trade-offs. Like, I don't want to say it sucks, because I know that as someone who's been there, that it's like, yeah, because your brain is like in that super active state, you're able to have these like really deep thoughts and all sorts of other great stuff that people appreciate about you. But is there something you're like looking to, I don't know, is there something you're looking for? Or it may, ooh, wait, Shannon, watch this. I'm going to leave that rambling, like searching for the question, thinking out loud thing in, but really my question, really my question is like, how do you want to feel like in with the podcasting going forward? Because obviously you want to be able to like, feel like you're in control of it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. My biggest superpower, my biggest weakness, my concept that I created.
Trademark.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, would I want to think about it less, but then like the content might be worse. Like that's what I bring, is that I think about it so much, but also I'm sometimes get really tired and I would like to turn off. I don't know. At the end of the day, I think I'd probably put the content first. Like,
yeah.
You know, me thinking about it a lot is, it's what I bring, it's who I am as well. Like, it's hard for me to not be that person, because I just wonder kind of who I would be. But it is an interesting thought, because it definitely feeds into like the OCD thing. Like, when that's really bad, the hardest thing about it is that you can't control your own brain. Like, the compulsions are like, do it, and you're like, no, I don't want to, and they're like, no, you must, and you're like, ugh. And like, it's a hard thing to explain to people.
Yeah,
I don't know, unless it's something that a lot of people feel. I only really know my own brain. But like, the worst thing for me is when the OCD is really bad, is that I have to feed the compulsions, even if they're little things. Like, for me, a lot of it is like consuming content. It sounds so stupid, but like, if my OCD is really bad, like I can't miss a line, so I'll like have to go back, or I'll even watch something and then I'll like go back later, which is crazy. Like, that's like some of the really bad stuff when I'm like need a control, and that's my way to control, is to just like get into something 100%, not let anything slip through the cracks. And when I don't want to do it, but my brain is like, you have to, that's a hard disconnect between not being able to control yourself. But it's not just like in that, like, I think a lot of people would feel that way. Like, oh, I had an emotional reaction to something, which is definitely something I've had, especially like being in the public eye or like being on Twitter and stuff. Like, oh, I reacted to that and I wish I hadn't. And that was a lot. Every time I responded to the troll, it felt good in the moment. It's like feeding that compulsion.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like you have something on your skin and you pick it and then it bleeds for 3 days. Like that was what it, and then you feel bad for days. And you remember that interaction for months, when if you just let it go, which is something that I learned, or have been trying to learn and have been, I definitely got away better at, then it's much easier. And it was when it was told to me that like all those things are your need for control, like you're trying to control that interaction, you're trying to control anything, that's why you like feed that compulsion, that I was able to let go in parts of it. But still, letting go for me is like the thing that I struggle with the most, I think, like from the therapy notes. Like, the therapy notes are very much like, let go, like move on, like is this a helpful thought now, or is it becoming like destructive? And even if I know that, I'm probably, or maybe at least, will still go on those thoughts. So
Yeah.
Well, Survivor, I think a lot of it is constructive.
Right.
A lot of it is like, it will make the podcast better. Like if at 4 a.m, I roll over and I've had an amazing idea and I texted to myself and it was a great point for the podcast, great. But then is there stuff around that where maybe it's not that good a thought? Mm-hmm. And it's just that the fact that Survivor is constantly in my mind, or the fact that my mind is never turned off, and like, how much am I losing for that? Like how much mental capacity, like mental exhaustion, like sleep, like how much am I losing for that? Like it's hard to weigh it up because it's all the good thoughts I have and all the unnecessary thoughts I have at the expense of all of my time and thoughts, if that makes sense. So yeah. A lot of it's really good, but also a lot of it's really hard. And then it feeds into the anxiety and the OCD and the other mental health stuff of that, which is all very much, I think, like part and parcel of all the same stuff, which is just like, someone like let my break go to an ad, like my brain go to an ad break, like, you know, like let it chill out for a second. But that's just not really what I do.
Look, I don't know. It's interesting. It's something that I haven't figured out either. So I'm like equally stumped by that problem of like, my brain wants an ad break. My brain needs an ad break. But thankfully, like I and I've shared this with you before that like for me, where things have been with my level of podcasting is like, I know when I'll be podcasting. I know when I'll have breaks from it. I know that the Pod Friends season will end like at the end of the Survivor, not including Survivor Philly, but will end at the Survivor off season. So and before South 43 Africa. Starts
yes.
and South and like all, off season in the like U.S. Yeah, Survivor US, context,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so it's yeah. So like that's good to have, but I feel you and. I don't know if anyone has any advice for us and even just more like therapy. For how they deal with this. But I do love like one thing I love as well, how people listen and like these conversations resonate. And I'm sure a ton of people will be listening to this one. And there's so much more that we could have touched on. And I mean, the good news is you are places talking about things and people could hear from you. And so like, I would encourage them to do that. But I want to ask, as we kind of get to this point of wrapping up and get closer to that point, there's a question I ask everyone, Shannon, and I'm so curious about your answer. And it's, if your life were a book or documentary, what would the title be and why?
I know, it's so hard. That's such a hard question. We asked it as well in the Survivor South Africa interviews, and it was really hard. Like why do we put people through that? I kind of felt like I wanted to go in like a, you know, because that's who I am. That's how I'm defined. Also, I come out of all of these like very personal podcasts thinking, does everyone think I'm just like completely insane? Like, this is me after the therapy. And I'm like, someone help my brain.
And that's like the healthiest thing to do.
I'm good.
Yeah, that's the healthiest thing I would think. And I think, you know, the people who share, just to interrupt your answer, but the people who like are sharing their journey and sharing their struggles and sharing where they're going through, like that's so much healthier than keeping it in. And also realizing that like, you rapped on this podcast, but you also talked about mental health.
And you, we're gonna rap again. We're gonna do my show.
That was funny. I thought that was funny. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, but yeah, your title, your book or documentary.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do like share a lot in other places. Like it was crazy when you asked, "What might the listeners know?" I'm like. I've really like people get me. It's so upsetting because one of the things in therapy is like the listeners don't really know you. Like if they're sending you hate, they don't know you. I'm like, they kind of do. Like,
really like I've
given everything of myself to this. Like if they don't like me, like they're probably right. but the book, so I thought I'd go in like a passions or like extremes. Like that's how I feel. I'm like, everything is like pretty extreme to me. But I thought I would just say like obsessed, the Shannon Gus story. And then I could talk about like all the things I'm obsessed with. And why and how that obsession is my best and worst quality, which is a concept that you try to steal from me.
Oh, well, I did try to steal it from you.
I was like, not on my watch. No way. Like,
imagine if you weren't the person I was interviewing and I did that.
That's brilliant. No.
Wow.
You and my mom, stop. Ugh.
See, I appreciate that. And I'm glad that you're obsessed with in the ways that you are, for better or for worse, just because we wouldn't know each other if not for that. So that's a beautiful thing.
That's a good point.
I kind of want to bring it back actually to the not wrapping yet. I know you can't wait to wrap again.
Like, but out the
to the, and then me like,
yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Yeah.
But what, okay, so the RHAP community, ooh, it's something I wanted to talk about, which is what role has the community played for you, the RHAP community especially? And I think of like all the people who I know who love you. I think of like the times that I hear you mentioned by Rob on podcasts and even just talked about by Rob and how much, how kindly and warmly he will refer to talk about you and with you and all that. But like, what has this community and Rob as a podcast meant for you overall?
Oh my God, so many things. I mean, I love the community. I like when you said that people had requested to hear from me on the podcast, I was like, but I'm so boring. Like, how much can I talk about myself? Like, I did the Taran show and I just recently talked with Kieran. Like, people have heard from me. Like, I'm, you know, like I can talk about Survivor and then intersperse every fact about myself within it. But like, how much am I really going to talk about myself? But then you said people wanted it. And I was like, I love this community.
People want to hear from you. Yeah. And so like I don't know. I think like, I don't know. I'm curious to hear more of like if there've been any experiences or moments that kind of make you think like, this is why I do it. This is why I stick with it. This is why I love this community.
So, I mean, so many, like firstly, just the community, it is like the relationships, like it is getting to have this connection with you or like so many people from the community, especially as we talked about coming from pretty insular Jewish community in Australia, like, it's far away from things. And like, this has expanded my worldview with like interesting opinions and personalities that I really appreciate. That's the first thing. But then in terms of like how amazing the community can be, like I learned in therapy, you're not supposed to rely so much on the comments. It's supposed to be internal validation, which I have. Mm-hmm. I know that like what matters the most is me enjoying it. But then I care about, of course, like validation from Rob or, I mean, like Channel 10 or anything like that. But Rob, who's such a huge mentor for me and someone I respect so much. Like, yeah, if he says something good, like that means everything to me. But then it is like the community members as well, which means I think 100 times more than any hate or anyone who's like trying to look for the worst in you. Like if someone messages you and tells you, you got me through a really tough time. So that was happening a lot during lockdown. Like you got me through this difficult thing. You had people message, I moved countries and I feel like I have you here as a friend. Like that kind of stuff, like every single time reminds me that like that's at least a very large reason I do it. Mostly for me, because that's what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
But when you get that message and people talk about struggles they've been through or ways that you've distracted them or entertained them or not consoled them, but probably just stupidly distracted them, you know, if that means something to them, people do reach out and say it, like that really does mean everything to me. And I totally get it as well, because when I was really getting into RHAP was when I first started dating Peter. So I did those 5 years. I don't know if I talked about it on the Taran show in terms of this, but a big thing for me was the podcast with RHAP through long distance. And I remember so many times getting to the airport, being upset that I was leaving Peter and putting on a podcast and then feeling happier, like not feeling in my emotions, but like having that distraction and laughing at a podcast or thinking about an interesting thought. And it meant a lot to me. And I've always been that kind of person who is very much attached to like the power of media. I've talked about it so much, obviously with Hamilton. I've talked about it with Taylor Swift, like songs that meant so much to me at the time.
Yeah.
Content that distracted me or entertained me or was like foundational at a point in my life. Even the fact that like I go back and rewatch Friends, it's my comfort show or things that I consumed at different times and what they meant to me. And the fact that I could be that to anyone that is like, I was going through a tough time through lockdown.
Yeah.
You were the friend in my head. Like that.
Yeah.
Is huge for me. Like that gets me every time. So yeah, the community is amazing. Like I've talked about like my community, what I feel is like my people. That's been a big thing for me, especially this year, is trying to work out like whose opinions matter and like my circle.
Exactly.
And I feel like all the listeners are in that. And even though I know there are probably haters that hang out listening to the podcast, like it doesn't affect me now because I know that like it's not for them and they don't count because they're not in the circle. So I can't even see them, you know, like that's just for my people.
Right.
And I don't even know who some of my people are because they're listeners, but then they reach out and like, just letting you know, like I'm one of them. And I'm like, great, because I'm your people too. And like, it honestly means so much to me and has been a reason or a way that I have been able to continue like mentally through podcasting is realizing like, why I do it. Not for the comments, but it's for the meaning. Like, as we're saying, like, everything is meaningful in the moment, mm-hmm. which is then manifested into people telling me in comments sometimes. But just knowing that, it's like, this is the fun we have together. This is the community we've built. This is like the people who remember some stupid joke you made a couple of years ago,
right.
or just had fun with it. Like, that has been not that it's just like important to me. It's so important to me that it like got me over some hurdles.
Yeah.
Like was an antidote to things with me kind of just knowing where I should sit and focusing on that rather than focusing on the negative.
Yeah. And it's great because, like, you know, and I think sometimes we could trivialize it or overlook it, but, you know, just as like, all of us have had dark or difficult or challenging times. And I've talked about it before, like how this podcast for me was so important. Like after I discovered RHAP, like literally the month I lost my dad, because I was, when he passed away in 2017, because I was like, I just need like the friends in my head a little bit. And then that evolved a lot. And my relationship has clearly changed with RHAP, in for the best in amazing ways. But, you know, thank you so much for like giving so much of yourself to the community and helping so many people through Survivor, through their lives, through their challenges, through whatever.
I mean, I'm talking about Survivor. But like, it's true. I mean, I give a lot of myself, and that is the thing. Like, that's why I'm appreciative of the listeners. It's like, if you enjoy it, like, again, you do know me. Like, I know we talk in therapy about how you don't, like, you kind of do. And if you're around and enjoying it, I really appreciate that, because that's a lot. It's a lot to hang out with someone for 3 hours in your ears. They're ranting about some stupid thing they thought about at 4 a.m. Like, if you're along for that ride, like, you want to be here, or you're the couple of random haters that are listening to everything I do. But mostly, like, you want to be here. And I appreciate that, because I know I'm a lot. That's the thing as well, is like, I'm aware. Something I came to terms with in therapy is like, I'm a lot. I'm not going to be for everybody. But if I am for you in some capacity, like, I always appreciate that.
You know, I think the best way to wrap this up, to thank people, is to wrap it up. Exactly. We're on the same page, Shannon. So I'll let you take it away. And
but you're going to do the what?
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm just going to do like a verse of my show.
Do it. Okay. I'm ready.
When are the what woes come in? And I'll just do the third.
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, they come you're in like before come with the...
It's all right. I'll do it. We'll come in.
We'll improvise. We'll improvise.
Okay. I imagine death so much it feels more like a memory. When's it gonna get me? In my sleep, 7 feet ahead of me. If I see it coming, do I run or do I let it be? Is it like a beat without a melody? See, I never thought I'd live past 20. Where I come from, some get half as many. Ask anybody why we living fast and we laugh, reach for a flask. We have to make this moment laugh. That's plenty. Scratch that. This is not a moment. It's the movement where all the hungriest brothers with something to prove went. Foes oppose us. We take an honest stand. We roll like Moses, claiming our promised land. And if we win our independence, will we guarantee your freedom for our descendants? Or will the blood we shed begin an endless cycle of... what am I saying? Endless cycle... Oh, my God, I left it. For our descendants, I know the action in the street is exciting, but Jesus, between all the bleeding and fighting, I've been reading and writing, we have to handle our financial situation. Now we a nation of states, what the state of our nation? I'm past patiently waiting, I'm passionately smashing every expectation, every action's an act of creation. I'm laughing in the face of tragedy and sorrow. For the first time, I'm thinking past tomorrow, and I am not throwing away my shot.
I am not throwing away my shot.
Are you keep being hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. It's your pot.
We're getting sued. We're getting sued.
The moment Miranda's my best friend. I've hooked you up, and I got the rap wrong.
You did a pretty great job. That was off the top of your head.
I know every lyric off the top of my head, and I still screwed it up. I want to do it again.
And you're perfect, and I'm thankful for you, and the people are, and you did this. And any final words to wrap us up? Any final words to wrap us up?
You want me to rap again?
No. Not you. It's great, but just like...
Stop saying wrap it up. I'm going to start rapping. I'm going to do the verse again so that I don't get it wrong.
End it.
Okay. Thank you all. Thank you, Matt, for having me. I really, really appreciate it. I'm so sorry for rapping at you multiple times, but also I kind of wanted to rap. So I rapped at you and look, I screwed it up and I'm just going to live with it. It's fine because I haven't talked about my perfectionism and OCD for 2 hours on this podcast. It's all good. Thank you all. Apologies. And I appreciate it.
And tell Shannon how great her rapping is. Hashtag best. You know what? You could come up with the hashtag. Hashtag pod friends. I don't know. Okay.
Hashtag wrap it up with a rap. And are you asking me to rap again? I'm out. I'm done.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into this conversation with Shannon and just being here for the Pod Friends journey overall. It means so much. And if you appreciate this conversation, let us know on social media at Hey Pod Friends, at Matt Scott GW. Make sure to tag Shannon and her handles in the show notes if you're not already following her. But it means so much when you subscribe to the podcast, when you leave those 5 stars, when you leave a review, when you share all the ways that this conversation resonates. And I know that so many of us have known Shannon and followed her for years. I've been a big fan even before I knew her and considered her a podcasting colleague. And so it meant so much that we could have this conversation and dive deeper. And I love talking with Shannon and hope that we don't remain strangers. I hope that we get to have this conversation, another conversation again soon. That's what it's all about, us getting to know each other, but you along the way being part of the conversation and getting to know Shannon and me, kind of, I guess. Again, robhiswebsite.com/podfriendsfeed. Follow me at Matt Scott GW. Check out my link in bio to find where you could watch Survivor Philadelphia 2 premiering this Tuesday. I can't talk. Tuesday, July 19th, Survivor Philadelphia, Head versus Heart coming up. And so much more, like links to the wrestling wrap up and other things that I'm up to. But thank you so much, everyone, as always, for being part of this journey. And as I say at the end of each and every one of these interviews, sincerely from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being a pod friend.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.